Lord, for this beautiful day of resurrection. You are the risen Lord, you are the light of the world, and you're in our midst. We ask you, Lord, to speak to our hearts on this special day, this day of yours. This is your day, Lord. We praise your name. So I maybe do this every year, but there is a saying, a Russian saying, way of greeting one another, where one person comes and says, Christ is risen, and the other says, he is truly risen. Let's try. Christ is risen. I don't know whether that was very enthusiastic. Christ is risen. Amen. He is truly risen. Gotcha. Actually, the story goes that there was, at the time of the Bolshevik Revolution, the beginning of the last century, a public debate between a bishop of the Orthodox Church, a Russian church, and the Bolshevik revolutionary. The revolutionary got up and gave forward his ideology very strongly and belted away as best he could to convince the people of what he thought was the truth. And when he sat down, the old bishop just stood up. He knew his people. And he said, Christ is risen. And all the people said, and the old bishop sat down. He said, I rest my case. The truth, isn't it? He is risen. And when we know that, we have the victory. When we know that, everything else changes. And the power of the Lord himself is upon us. And we'll never be oppressed. We'll never be held down to the point where it is a disaster. But we'll always be able to rise above. Because Christ is risen. I won't keep doing that to you all night. Okay. There's another Russian, this time a contemplative man named Seraphim of Sarov. He went off into solitude for 10 years just to seek Christ. And when he came out of the solitude, they said that he was so radiant that all he had to say to the people was, joy, Christ is risen, and they'd be converted. Because he was so filled with the joy of the risen Lord. And that's what we seek to soak up in today's celebration, the joy of the risen Lord. That we know that joy within us, that nothing can come against us now. Nothing can come between us than the love of God made visible in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and is now risen. And no matter what trial or tribulation or struggle that we go through in our life, we know that these are the trials through which we triumph by the power of him who has loved us unto death and has overcome death by the power of his love, now risen and glorified with his wounds as a sign of his great love for each one of us that we can draw upon. You know, there's great electricity, as it were, in the person of Christ. Thomas found that out, didn't he? When he encountered the risen Lord, and Jesus said, here are my hands and my feet, the wounds, the signs that I've gone to the depth of pain and suffering for your sake, but now I'm risen and I'm here for you. It must have been such a loving gesture on the part of Jesus. And Thomas went to touch the wounds, and I think he experienced an electric shock. And something of that electric shock maybe needs to happen to us too. As in faith we come to the risen Lord, because he was on his knees, my Lord and my God. And all of his doubts were dispelled by that electricity, as it were, spiritual electricity that really generated within him a new experience of God, such that he was convinced of the truth of who Jesus really is, of the reality and the majesty and the wonder and the beauty and the glory of the risen Christ before him. And he says, my Lord and my God. You see, my friends, when we speak about resurrection, we're not just talking about the faith that we have in the empty tomb. Certainly, we believe that the tomb was empty. We had that testified to us by the gospel today, that when they arrived there, the body was not to be found, and the cloths were rolled up. But we don't put our faith in the empty tomb. We put our faith in the person of the risen Christ, who's no longer in the tomb, but he is now present to us, the one whom we encounter now, the one whom we meet right at this moment, the one who lives within us because of our baptism, the one who we can speak with and listen to and discover more of the depth of his personal, intimate love for each one of us. This is the risen Christ who we celebrate today. When the women encountered the angel who told them that he'd risen, they're so filled with joy and awe, we're told, that they ran to the disciples. And as they were running, Matthew tells us that there coming to meet them was Jesus. And there coming to meet us too is the risen Christ. So much has he loved you that he went unto the cross for your sake. And now risen and glorified, he comes to us with all of that love, with all of that new hope that he brings to every situation that we have in our lives. Yes, you see, we don't just believe that when Jesus rose from the dead, he was like Lazarus, a resuscitated corpse. You see, Lazarus died again. But we believe in the risen Christ who will never die again. He died once for our sin, but now that he's risen, he is forever alive. And he is our life, our resurrection life. And we, when we die, know that our death no longer has victory over us. So death, where is your sting? Says Paul. Because he is risen and we will also be resurrected in him. Forever. And that eternal life begins now within us. Jesus' resurrection, power and life and love is really within us right now. And he wants to engender into each of us a deeper awareness and appreciation of the hope and power that he brings to our lives. Because are we not prone, I know I am, to allow the disappointments of life to lead me down a depressive pattern, lead me into a despondency, and I feel shattered and sometimes rejected, sometimes neglected, sometimes harassed, sometimes just oppressed and held under, and I can feel that a deflation in spirit and going down into the pit of misery and despair. But my friend, when we come to know the risen Christ and his power in our lives, there's nothing that can happen in our lives, no matter how tragic and how calamitous it may be, that can threaten us with destruction anymore. We have become indestructible. We have become invincible because of Jesus, who lives within us, who we receive in this Eucharist tonight, and who abides in us with all of his resurrection power. He comes to bring hope where there is no hope. He comes to bring light where there seems to be only darkness. But by his presence within us, we have a guarantee, a sure guarantee, a sure hope that will never disappoint us, that will never delude us or lead us into ultimate disillusionment. Life has many moments, does it not, where we feel like we're coming unstuck. But as long as we hold to Christ, as long as we allow him and his resurrection life within us, we'll ultimately be able to move through these times with the hope that comes from him. And it's not just the wishful thought. It's the truth. It's a guarantee given to us on this resurrection day, that we can live as a resurrection people with deep hope within us, because our hope is in God. And how sad is our generation who has lost the knowledge of God, the God who raised Jesus from the dead, because they walk in hopelessness. They walk in great disillusionment, and their lives are going from one tragedy to the next so often, and not knowing how to cope with it, because they do not know this truth, this reality of the very person of the glorified, risen Christ, who is so readily available to us. And it is for us to tell them. It's for us to run to them like those women run from the tomb when they discover that he's risen, and full of joy, wanting to tell as many people as possible. He's risen. He's alive. He's alive for you. He's alive for everyone. And he's real, and he's the deepest answer to the cry of every human heart. The deepest questions deep within us can only be ultimately solved in the person of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. He brings light to our darkness, and bless his holy name for that. And my dear friends, we must remember, too, that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ gives us the power to change. We can find ourselves feeling held down by patterns of sin in our life, by addictive sort of patterns, or habits that have just got the best of us. But the Lord Jesus Christ has broken the power of sin when he rose from the dead. Paul says at one stage, he's speaking to the people, and he's talking about the power of God the Father. He says, I pray that you may know in your heart and be convinced of the power, the infinite power of God the Father, and the power that he's exercised for us believers. And Paul says, you can know this because he's shown this power through the strength that he had in raising Jesus from the dead. And Paul is saying, just as he raised Jesus from the dead, so also will we rise up inside ourselves with the same power, resurrection power. That's what's available to us. We're immersed into it in our baptism, and the baptismal waters are represented here at this pool. We've been baptized into Christ's resurrection. It's as if we died with him, Paul says, and all the old self put to death, and we've been brought into resurrection power. So we can live a new life in Christ. We do not have to be held down and oppressed by sin anymore and the slavery that it would bring to us. Now, someone once sort of said that there's a theory around, is there not, that the first creation, when God created, there's a scientific theory that it was like a big bang. And all the energy that's come out of that big bang is explaining the expanding universe that we are part of. Now, whether you subscribe to that theory or not, doesn't matter. But what we can say for sure is that with the new creation that has come in Jesus Christ, there's been a big bang. There's new energy, a new power in the universe that's come as a result of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And each one of us can draw upon this new energy and new power to be able to change the things in our life that seem to be impossible to change, to be able to break through out of the tomb that we've maybe built for ourselves and the chains that maybe we've allowed to be wrapped around us by the enemy. It's characteristic of the risen Lord to break the chains. It's characteristic of the risen Lord to bust open the bars that would hold us in prison and bring us out from the darkness into his wonderful light. This is what he has done for us. And as we welcome him into our lives, we'll know that power within ourselves more and more. Some years ago, I was at a ministry place in Melbourne run by Sister Magiella. It's called Wellspring. And I was sitting at the table having dinner with these young people, and a young man came in, and he was emaciated, totally emaciated. And I could see immediately he'd been on serious drugs. It turned out it was heroin. And he was on an amphetamine program to sort of withdraw from heroin. And so he came in and sat next to me, and I began a conversation. We started talking about Jesus. It was a sort of place where you felt free to do that. And he was very open to the message. And that night, he opened his heart to Jesus. And I was there present with him when he rang his dad, who he'd been so estranged from, to tell him the good news that he'd encountered the Lord. His father slammed the phone down on him. Later, I had the opportunity of meeting with his dad and explaining what had happened to this young man. But he went off to what's called the Teen Challenge Program. This is a program that was started by a pastor in New York called David Wilkinson, in inviting young people into a deep experience of the Word of God under the power of the Spirit of the risen Christ, especially those who have been addicted to drugs in one way or another. It's like a rehabilitation program. And this Teen Challenge program has such a record in the United States that some years ago, a sociologist did a study of various programs of rehabilitation that were available in the United States at that time. And she came up with the astounding result that Teen Challenge, of all of these programs, was streets ahead of the others. So much so that it was unaccountable. She could not account for why this was the case. And in her report that she made, as a secular sociologist does, she said, We cannot account for why the people doing this program have so much more success in getting off the drugs than anyone else. Except, she said, for what we might call the Jesus factor. Well, that's what I'm proclaiming here tonight, the Jesus factor. And he's not just a factor in a sociological report. He is real, he's alive, he's the risen Lord, he's glorious and triumphant, he's put all things under his feet, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That young man went on and actually did get free from his drugs over a whole program that was he submitted himself to. He died fairly young because he'd done such damage to his body. But they told me that when he died with the Bible in his hands. Because he developed such a love for the Word of God, which was his new life, and had given him such hope and strength. My friends, let's celebrate tonight. Let's celebrate with great joy. Let's celebrate the victory of the risen Christ that he invites us into. Let's celebrate with great hope, no matter what our life circumstances are at this precise moment. We can still claim the victory of Jesus. We can stand in his love, that his love is powerful, more powerful than death itself. And his love is totally available to each one of us. And there, coming to meet us, is Jesus. Here in this Eucharist, coming to meet us is the risen Christ, coming to draw us into intimate friendship with him, where he'll be there through thick and thin, through rain, snow, hail, or whatever thing comes against us. No matter what storm we face in life, Christ with us is our strength, our hope and our joy. And bless his holy name.